your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Wednesday, October 13th, 2021. Your boy Q here, getting closer to turning the page and preparing for the Denver Broncos as they will be hosting the Raiders on Sunday. A game that is very important for the Raiders in a lot of different ways, but most importantly, in my opinion, they're on a two-game losing streak, and it'd be nice to see them get back into the win column and try to calm the waters a little bit. But, you know, we haven't got quite there yet. Coming up on tomorrow's show, I'll just go ahead and give you a little bit of a sneak peek. Cody Rourke will join the show to talk all things Denver Broncos. We'll be talking Broncos. We'll be talking Raiders. It'll be crossover Thursday, but that's for tomorrow. We still got today, and I do want to thank you for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Coming up today, segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. A lot of folks hit me up and thanked me for the show that I did on Tuesday, representing for Raider Nation and just holding it down and letting it be known that Raider Nation deserves better. And so thank you so much for everyone who reached out. I know I probably wasn't able to respond to everybody. I know I won't be able to get everyone's call or text onto the show today, but I do appreciate you reaching out and appreciating the fact that I did that show for you on Tuesday. Really meant a lot to me, and I, as I see, it meant a lot to Raider Nation as well. So thank you so much for reaching out one way or the other by Twitter or by the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. You know, you could always tweet at me at your boy Q254. So calls and texts, segment number three. Segment number two, going to talk about the rest of this Raiders remaining season and what the expectations could be, what they should be, and what they might be. Because there's at least 12 games left. This team, before the season started, said they were a playoff team. Mike Mayock, the GM, said they were a playoff team. And I still think they have playoff talent. Question is, are they going to be able to hold it together, rally around Rich Bisaccia, the interim head coach, and rally around the troops as far as the players in the locker room and get it done? We'll find out how it begins on Sunday in Denver against the Broncos. Also coming up in segment number two, I had my guy RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. He was on my radio show on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness, talking about interim head coach Rich Bisaccia because, well, RJ covers the Cowboys like a glove, and Rich Bisaccia was a special teams coach there. He was assistant head coach there in Dallas under Jason Garrett. So I thought, hey, having him on the show, he'll be able to break down all things Rich Bisaccia. So not only are you going to hear what this means for the Raiders the rest of the season, you'll also hear about 4 or 5 minutes from RJ Ochoa talking about Rich Bisaccia. That's all coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, news and notes of the day, as I always do. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Off top, Rich Bisaccia is going to meet with the media today about 1:10. I won't be in attendance because my radio show starts at 2 o'clock, so there's no way that I'd be able to be there at 1:10 and then listen to him talk. It's only going to be him. No players, no Mark Davis, no Mike Mayock, just Rich Bisaccia. But there's no way I was going to be able to be there, listen to 15, 20 minutes of a media session, because I do think it's going to be kind of lengthy since it's his first media session as the interim head coach. I think it's going to go a little bit longer than normal, and then try to hustle back to the radio station, get there on time. So I won't be there. It originally was supposed to be at 12:30, and it got pushed back to 1:10. So that's unfortunate, but we will bring you, and I will bring you, even on the podcast, what Rich Bisaccia had to say. We'll do that on tomorrow's show for sure. But just know, if you're paying attention and you want to hear it live, 1:10 Pacific Standard Time is when it's supposed to start. The media will meet with interim head coach Rich Bisaccia. I mentioned no Mark Davis, no Mike Mayock, no players. The no players I get. I do think that the Raiders are doing a disservice to everybody by not having Mark Davis come out and say something. I think he should join Rich Bisaccia. I don't think that he should put Rich Bisaccia out there by himself. Not that he's some young kid and he doesn't know what to do, but Mark Davis needs to address the media as well and just give him a few minutes to do a little Q&A session. And if not Mark Davis, then Mike Mayock. But really, probably it should be both. So that's not going to happen, at least not yet. But Rich Bisaccia will be meeting with the media later on today. A lot of things have gone on as well since John Gruden has resigned from the Raiders. Just about less than 24 hours from when it happened, as a matter of fact, all kind of things started rolling downhill like Skechers. They decided to drop John Gruden. He's no longer going to be doing endorsements for them. He's no longer going to be in commercials for them. I'm sure that Corona is not going to pick him back up. You know, he was doing the Corona commercials before he took over as the head coach of the Raiders again. I'm sure Corona's not going to pick him back up either. But this is something I found to be really interesting, and I'm still kind of on the fence about how I even feel about this. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Buccaneers, they announced that they are not going to have him in the Buccaneers Ring of Honor anymore. They are removing him. They put out a statement saying the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have advocated for purposeful change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion for many years. While we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values as an organization. Therefore, he will no longer continue to be a member of the Buccaneers Ring of Honor. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And like I said, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I feel about that situation because, I mean, they gave him the honor of being in the Ring of Honor. They felt like he needed to be in the Ring of Honor for what he was able to do and help them achieve on the field, which was bringing them that Super Bowl back in 2002 against the Raiders. And now they're removing him. And I've never been a big fan of, you know, removing guys from the record books or removing guys from the Pro Football Hall of Fame or any other Hall of Fame because of, you know, something that went on, unless it was just way over the top. But I just never been a big fan of that, even going back in history and trying to take things away that were there before. I mean, look, they're there for a reason. They were there in history. You know, history, if you don't know about it and you don't acknowledge it and you don't, you know, research it, you're guaranteed to repeat it. So I don't know. I'm not going to say that he should be in the Ring of Honor, but it just seems like it's a super extreme. I mean, he's not with the Raiders anymore. He's never going to coach again, obviously. I mean, man, I don't know. I mean, I guess the organization has its reasons. I know a lot of folks have said, yeah, but Warren Sapp's still going to be in the Ring of Honor. Yeah, but they still went and signed Antonio Brown with all the issues he had going on. And I mean, and I'm not a big, yeah, well, what about this guy and what about that guy either? I mean, it's all about what's going on in your house, but that's what Tampa Bay chose to do. They decided to remove themselves from John Gruden completely. And so, yeah, there you go. I wonder if it'd be a little bit different if they didn't have another Super Bowl that they just won this last year. I don't know. But either way you look at it, man, that's what they chose to do. John Gruden will no longer be in the Buccaneers Ring of Honor. And then you want to talk about statements. How about this? Jeff Fisher, former coach of the Rams, was in the league for a long time. He was a coach of the Titans as well. He actually put out a tweet. I don't even ever see Jeff Fisher on Twitter, but he was mentioned in John Gruden's email. Matter of fact, he was mentioned as being a guy that the league put pressure on to draft Michael Sam because he was the first openly gay draftee player available in the draft. And so the Rams went in and got him. And so John Gruden had mentioned him in their email. Well, Coach Fisher came out with a tweet, and I have, like I said, never seen him on Twitter before. If he has, he's not very active. But he said, Michael Sam was the SEC co-defensive player of the year in 2013. We selected him in the 2014 NFL draft based on his defensive production and pass rushing skill set on the field. As a head coach for over 20 years, we drafted or didn't draft players based on a variety of qualities. Their sexual orientation would never and should never play a part in the decision-making process. I continue to support Michael and his decision to come out as the first draft-eligible openly gay player in the league. It took courage to serve as a role model for those competitive football players who may also happen to be gay. Lastly, the NFL never encouraged or discouraged me regarding the selection of potential prospect. That's best, Jeff Fisher. Again, that was a statement he put out by way of Twitter, and letting you know right there, he don't want nothing to do with what John Gruden had to say. I mean, he saw his name in those emails and saw that related to Michael Sam and was like, whoa, hold up, swole him up. I don't want nothing to do with that. Let me go ahead and get this statement put out there real quick, fast, and in a hurry so I can remove myself from that. Like, he backpedaled out of that situation like one of the best defensive backs you've ever seen. Just backpedal, backpedal, open up your hips and go. That's what he did. He said, backpedal, backpedal, open up, hips, go. He took off, man. He was not going to get beat deep at all. So that was former head coach Jeff Fisher trying to clear the air on his stance on the whole Michael Sam situation as it pertained to John Gruden's emails that were revealed on Monday. And my final little nugget that I wanted to pass along for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast has to do with the depth chart. They released another one on Tuesday, the most updated one, and just kind of looking over it, not a lot of changes there. Andre James is still at the center position with Nick Martin behind him. Alex Leatherwood is still at the right guard position with Jermaine Illuminor behind him, and Brandon Parker still holding down that right tackle position with Jackson Barton behind him. Looking at the rest of it, you got Josh Jacobs, followed by Kenyon Drake, followed by Peyton Barber, followed by Jalen Richard. I don't think that Peyton Barber is going to play, but apparently he was pushing really hard to play last week against the Bears, so maybe he does, but a pretty deep little four-man right there as far as the running back position goes. Of course, Alec Ingold, the only fullback. Defensively, at the defensive end position, Ngakoue still the starter with Carl Nassib right behind him, and Malcolm Kuntz, who has not got a lot of burn. Matter of fact, he was inactive last week, and so I'd like to see the rookie get in there and get a little bit of burn, but he's been a little banged up and then just hasn't been effective when he's had a chance to go out there and compete, so we'll We'll see if he's active or inactive this week. Jonathan Hankins is still listed in as a starter at the nose tackle position with Darius Filon behind him. But remember, Hankins has a back injury that he's dealing with, so we'll have to monitor as far as the injury report goes throughout the course of the week to see what happens with him. We'll get our first injury report later on this afternoon. The defensive tackle position is still Jefferson or Thomas. And then at the other defensive end position, still Max Crosby with Cleve Ferrell behind him. Looking at that strong side linebacker position, he's still got KJ Wright, and he's a guy that's been very ineffective, really. I mean, I don't want to say ineffective. He just hasn't played a whole lot. He just really hasn't. There have been a lot of Denzel Perryman, Nick Kwiatkowski, Corey Littleton, even Divine Diablo have been out there more than KJ Wright. He just comes in here and there, so he doesn't really hold down that much. But again, it's that strong side linebacker position that's not always on the field. The middle linebacker, Denzel Perryman, who's probably leading the team in tackles, he's getting double-digit tackles every single game with Nick Kwiatkowski behind him. Weak side linebacker Corey Littleton, followed by Divine Diablo. Left side cornerback, how about this? You got Amik Robertson slotted in as the starter. He's taking over for Trayvon Mullen, who's still not back. He's not going to be back this week. He's on IR, so he's going to miss at least three games. Then Nate Hobbs is a starter in the slot corner position. He'll also kick outside if he has to. Keyshawn Nixon is in the three hole as far as the left side cornerback goes. Right side cornerback, Casey Hayward, and then Brandon Faison, the guy that they signed off the Chargers practice squad following that Monday Night Football game in L.A. So those are the two spots, the two right cornerbacks, Casey Hayward and Brandon Faison. Free safety still Trayvon Merrick with Roderick Teamer behind him, Dalen Levitt in the three hole. Then a strong safety, you got Jonathan Abram and Tyree Gillespie. So that's what it is right now. That's what the depth chart looks like. Again, the injury report will come out today, and then it'll come out on Thursday. Another one will be on Friday, and then you'll find out who's going to be active or inactive on Sunday morning. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about what this means moving forward for the Raiders this season. Rich Bisaccia taking over as the interim head coach. Again, he'll meet with the media later on this afternoon. And let's also get to know interim head coach Rich Bisaccia a little bit. My guy RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. He does a great job covering the Cowboys there in Texas. He joined my radio show on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness on Tuesday to talk all things Rich Bisaccia. Even talked a little bit offensive coordinator Kellen Moore. That's going to come up in segment number two. Before I do that, though, I do want to tell you about an app that is an incredible app that anyone who buys gas needs to know about, and that's Get Upside. All listeners of the Locked On Raider podcast are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every single time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play and do it right now. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and you're going to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. So that's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot, they're making a whole lot. $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cashback gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cashback on your first tank. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about Rich Bisaccia, what him being the interim head coach means for the Raiders moving forward, what they could possibly do, potentially do, with the last 12 games of the season. I also want you to hear briefly from RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys, talking all things Rich Bisaccia, kind of giving you a background on him. But something I asked on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday was just what people's expectations were from a team that has 12 games left. You know, and they're right in the thick of things. They're in the AFC West hunt. They only played five games, and they're all knotted up. I mean, they're not tied at the top, but they're right behind the Chargers. The Chargers are 4-1, and the Raiders are 3-2. So, I mean, the Chargers lose one game. The Raiders win one game. Boom, bada boom, bada bing. You're up there tied for first. So they could really go on a run. They could really rally around Rich Bisaccia if he's able to hit the right buttons and really get those guys going. And something that somebody brought to my attention on the radio show on Tuesday was, hey, Josh Jacobs came out and said on Sunday that the coaches call the plays, the players coach themselves. They kind of they coach each other up. They do what they got to do. They lead each other on the field. So now it's that time to step up. You know, it's that time for Derek Carr to show who he is. You know, he always is the one looking over to the sideline asking John Gruden, do you trust me? Well, go out there and show why John Gruden should have been trusting him, or he shouldn't have had to ask that question. He's going to have to go out there, and he's going to have to wear that captain patch on his shirt, and he have to wear it with pride. And what I mean by that, he's going to have to go out there and rally the troops. Offensively, he's going to have to get things jump-started. The offensive line is going to be the offensive line. It's no quick fix. You can't just snap your fingers and all of a sudden the offensive line is good. So they're going to have to figure it out on their own how to get that thing cooking. But it's not something that's impossible. They have talent on the team. It's not like it's a team that has no talent. They got it. They just got to figure out how to put it together. And then defensively, they got to have their leaders. They got to have KJ Wright, regardless if he's on the field a lot. They got to have Denzel Perryman. They've got to have Unique Ngakoue, Max Crosby. They've got to have those guys step up in a major way. The guys that are veterans, the guys whose team this is. Hunter Renfrow, offensively, he's got to be a guy that steps up, who's been there, done that, won a championship with Clemson. He's got to be able to show that leadership. Hell, this might be a time where Cleve Farrell is needed to step up in a major way. I know he's not getting a lot of burn, but he's going to have to show some of that leadership, some of that foundation. The reason why Mike Mayock said that they got him, they were trying to get foundational pieces, regardless what you think about that or not, he's going to have to show why he was a foundational piece, why he was a guy that they decided they wanted to go get at number 4 overall. He's got to prove that. There's multiple guys on this team that can get it done. They've just got to go get it done. They've got to prove who they are because, I mean, I talked about it in great detail on Tuesday that Raider Nation deserves better. Well, don't just fold up. You know, don't put your tail in between your legs and call it a day and say, well, this season's over. It's going to be a wrap. Go out there and ball out, man. Show the league who you are. Show the league what the Raiders are all about. That you're more than a coach. And that's not a shot at John Gruden, but I mean, he's the face of the franchise. Well, now it's time for Derek Carr to be the face of the franchise. It's time for Max Crosby to be the face of the franchise. And yeah, they get a lot of burn, they get a lot of props, but they really got to take it a step further now. There's no doubt about it. They have got to step up and show what they can do. It's going to be a tough test this Sunday, no doubt about it. Going to Denver, a team that has a good defense, in my opinion. Now, I think that their defense has holes in it. As of late, if you notice, they haven't really been getting to the quarterback that much. Von Miller's been doing that, but not too many other guys have been getting to the quarterback. So I think the offensive line has an opportunity to kind of hang in there and do a good job, especially to find a way to work to neutralize Von Miller. Then I think that opens up the rest of the offense. So that's one key to the game. And, of course, I'll talk to Cody Rourke tomorrow on the Locked On Raiders podcast, Crossover Thursday, talk to him just about that and get his thoughts on it because I do think that the Raiders can win this game, but they can't feel sorry for themselves, man. There is no feeling sorry for yourselves. No woe is me. It's no, oh my gosh, here we go again. Our leader's gone now. What are we going to do? No, guys like Henry Ruggs, guys like Darren Waller. I apologize. It has been 4 minutes and I haven't said Darren Waller. Darren Waller needs to step up. He had 19 targets in week one, 10 catches, and now he's just been kind of, I mean, you know, a decoy. He needs to get back to being a productive dude again. Get a bunch of catches. Now, I know he got one on Sunday where he was wide open. Chicago left him open, and he got him for about 30-something yards. That was a big play. You need to see more big plays from Darren Waller. All these playmakers that they have, the Darren Wallers, the Brian Edwards, the Henry Ruggs, those guys need to step up. Hunter Renfrow, he's been doing his job. He's got more than five catches at least every single game so far this season. Only about a handful of wide receivers so far in the league are doing that each and every week. Hunter Renfrow is out there doing his best he can. Other guys got to step up. And one guy who's going to be tasked with having the players step up, trying to help the players step up, is the guy who's going to be talking to the media later on today, and that's interim head football coach Rich Bisaccia. So on Tuesday, I had RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys in San Antonio, Texas. He also works for ESPN San Antonio. He was on my radio show to talk about Rich Bisaccia and just give an idea of who he is as a man and who he is as a coach, as he was a special teams coach and assistant head football coach there in Dallas under Jason Garrett before he decided to make the move to the Raiders. So we started things off just asking, hey, who is Rich Bisaccia? What should Raider Nation expect from him?
You know, I think he's a very kind man. And I like you say that and people say like, oh, no, like he's the one of the best people I think you can have be in charge. Given the situation with the Raiders right now, which you've done an excellent job covering over the last, you know, 20 or whatever it is hours. And I think he's, you know, you need that guy to kind of stabilize the ship. And I think a great comp, and it's ironic, but is the way John Fossil handled things when Jeff Fisher was fired in the Rams' first season in Los Angeles in 2016. Just somebody who's well-liked, endeared, you know, highly respected, and somebody who I think has the trust of both the offensive and defensive coordinators that he's around, and somebody that can be the right figurehead, front man, CEO, you know, however you want to put it. I think he's the perfect person, not that you want to ever have an archetype for this sort of situation, but the perfect person to try to come in here and calm everything down, because it's obviously going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride for a while.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a bumpy ride. The Raiders go to Denver this week. They're on a two-game losing streak, and he's got to rally the troops. You know, they're going from not having their head coach that they've had for a while now to having Rich Bisaccia, a new voice in the room. How do you think he goes about trying to rally the guys?
You know, I don't think he's – I think some coaches are – maybe not rah-rah, but maybe, you know, cheesy tactics and boxing gloves and stuff like that. I think Rich Bisaccia is somebody who treats players like grown men and understands, you know, there's an objective, there's a process, and that's kind of who he was, you know, as the Cowboys special teams coordinator. You know, in fact, when he was poached by John Gruden, you know, people were really upset just because he's kind of beloved in that way. So He's not a cheeky, cheesy type of coach like they kind of tend to be. You know, I think some people would put like Dan Campbell in that category, although I really like Dan Campbell, but he's not going to have your rah-rah speech or, you know, a viral moment like that. He's just going to show up and go to work and try to get through this. And I think that, again, that's who I would want in this situation, because he's not somebody that's going to be emotionally swayed or compromised when things do get a little bit more turbulent.
You know, I've seen a few players as well that were former Cowboys already come out on Twitter and say, hey, man, the Raiders are in good hands with Bisaccia. So it seems like at least players that have been around him for the long time, they have a lot of confidence in him. And it's strange. Did he ever express, because I know I never asked him and I didn't even talk to him that much when he was there in Dallas, but did he ever express the desire to be a head coach in this league?
Not to my knowledge, and I think some of that, like you said, you know, you didn't ask him, but I think it's kind of the way he arrived in Dallas. You know, he came with Monty Kiffin, and so like there was this kind of not hierarchy, but there was this kind of like set, you know, line of order, so to speak. He just never really like it never really entered your mind. I think he's kind of like, you know, on like your classic like after school sitcom, like the really funny guy that has lines every now and then. You know what I mean?
But right.
Isn't the character who gets the like romantic arc or, you know, gets into trouble or something like that, just kind of the person who's along for the ride. And it's not to say he doesn't have influence or isn't involved, but he just isn't in front of the camera like that, so to speak. So in that sense, this is a very different role for him.
We're talking right now with RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. And RJ, before we let you go, people have hit me up on the text line talking about Kellen Moore, talking about he's the guy that's calling the shots right there in Big D as far as the offensive coordinator. What's the chances that you think Jerry lets him out of town and become a head coach after the season for any team, not just particularly the Raiders, but any team in general?
Yeah, I have to imagine Kellen's going to be in high demand, assuming, you know, that the Cowboys season kind of plays out along the trajectory that it's on. He did interview for a head coaching job last year. I think that's notable. You know, this would technically be his second year in the cycle. It was the Philadelphia Eagles job he interviewed for. He did, you remember this, cue, not become the head coach at Boise State. A lot of people thought that was, like, ultimately the end game for him as one of their more notable and distinguished alum. And so Jerry has some deep pockets, and you can't use that in a lot of ways in the NFL, but you can use it for coaches. And so I do wonder if that would be enough to sway Kellen Moore to stay. And I think that I don't in any way think that Kellen Moore doesn't want to be an NFL head coach, but he is 33 years old.
Right.
I mean, this is literally his fourth season coaching period in the NFL. So I have to imagine that, you know, if you're someone like Kellen Moore, you might not get a second opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. So you have to be ready. And I think that's a hard thing. You have to be patient. And I say this with respect for both of you guys. I don't know what the Raiders' job, how appealing that would be. If you're going to get one job, do you want to roll the dice on this one? Do you want to try to be the guy to come in and save this? And I don't know that Kellen, sometimes is he experienced enough to do that, to command that respect. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on
right.
whoever is going to take this job. I like, for me, I think like a Doug Peterson makes sense. I'm sure you've talked about that, but somebody who's been there, done it, has the respect, has the, you know, career resume. I just, you know, I still think Kellen Moore is going to be in the mix for a lot of jobs, but I don't know if he's ready for that challenge, just because it's a very unique challenge.
So there was RJ Ochoa, his appearance that he made on Tuesday on my show, Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of inside story, little inside background on Rich Bisaccia, who's going to be the man in charge of, like he said, guiding the ship the rest of the way. 12 games and potentially more if they're able to make the playoffs. And I'll tell you, man, if they're able to make the playoffs, what a hell of a story that'll be, right? And I'd love to see that storyline at the end of the year. A team that rallies behind their interim head coach, that's a special teams coach, never been a head coach ever before at any level in the NFL or any college or any high school, never been a head football coach, and all of a sudden he's able to lead this team to the playoffs. I mean, that would just, like I said, that would be a story for Hollywood. That'd be that 30 for 30. I mentioned that on Tuesday's show. That would be really cool. But you got to take it one game at a time, and that first game is Sunday in Denver against AFC West division opponent, the Denver Broncos. So many thanks to RJ Ochoa for talking about Rich Versace and also giving a little bit of background on Kellen Moore. And the only reason I asked about him is because people were hitting me up saying, hey, what about Kellen Moore? He's doing really good things with that Cowboys offense. But kind of like what RJ said, he'll probably want to get a job where he feels like there's a lot more stability for him than potentially with the Raiders. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. There's obviously a lot of time between now and then before they can even think about interviewing coaches for a potential head coach position. But please believe the powers that be are getting their list together. They're looking at people. They're trying to figure out who would be good fits, what they think they're looking for in the next head football coach of the Raiders. And hell, if Rich Bisaccia gets them to the playoffs, maybe he's in the driver's seat for it. Who knows? Maybe Gus Bradley will be in the driver's seat for it, depending on how the defense plays. There's going to be a lot of options that the Raiders have. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of giving you a little background on Rich Bisaccia and what this regular season, the last 12 games that they have, what it kind of means for them moving forward. Your calls and texts are coming up next, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. 707-654-4693 is the number. Before we get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. And I discovered on Tuesday morning with the help of my guy, Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com, when we were doing the Locked On Bets show, that Built Bar has brought Rocky Road back. And Lee's a big Rocky Road guy, so he was so fired up when he saw that Rocky Road was back. Of course, they got Apple Almond Crisp, Strawberry Puffs. They got Churro, Cherry Lime, some of the ones that are just available for a limited time. But Rocky Road's going to sell out sooner rather than later. So if that's what you are, you're a Rocky Road fan, you might want to jump on it and jump on it immediately. A great taste of protein bar, 100% covered in chocolate. You won't feel bad for having a late night snack while you're watching maybe the baseball game. Maybe you're watching the playoffs like the Dodgers and Giants, like I was on Tuesday night. Maybe having a snack, you're having a Built Bar. You won't feel bad because it's a good taste of protein bar, 100% covered in chocolate, but it's good for you. And if you want to save money when you go to order, use the promo code LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order at checkout. BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15. Segment number three, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. Let's start off with a text from Ruben out the 310. What's up, Q? First, I want to say thanks. Your whole episode on John Gruden's resignation and the effect on Raider Nation was on point. You are right. It's hard being a Raider fan, and it takes the most loyal kind of fan to stick and stay with this team. Year after year, since 2002, there's been some type of inconsistency and disappointment, and year after year, we stay, we wear our colors, and we rep hard. When do we, as Raider Nation, as arguably the greatest fan base in football, get our day in the sun? Or better yet, under the lights? I'm here and always will be a Raider fan, but damn, gray hair don't need to come from being a Raider fan, LOL. Mark Davis, get this next hiring right. Raiders. It's from Ruben, not the 310. Thank you so much for that text, my man. And no doubt it can become stressful. Absolutely. And, one day it's going to pay off in a major way. When that fourth Lombardi trophy is hoisted up, then you're going to know that, hey, you were there through the bad, the ugly, and now you're there for the great. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be a good day. But at the end of that text, you mentioned Mark Davis, get this next hiring right. Man, that is a big key. I know we're not really talking about the hiring and who could be potentially the next head coach, and we will at some point. But, man, this has got to be the right one. This has got to be, in my opinion, the guy that takes this team to be great. It's got to be someone sharp. It's got to be someone with a great football IQ, someone who's charismatic. I mean, there's got to be this hire is huge. It really is. You don't want to have a continuous rotating door at the head coaching position like you had for years before Gruden. You want to have that consistency that Davis was looking for when he gave Gruden that contract. It just didn't shake out the way he wanted it to. But somebody's got to be the guy. Take this team to the next level. Thank you for that text, my man. Next up is a call from Weston out of Salt Lake City, the 801. He's calling to share his thoughts on Gruden's resigning, and it's a very short call. Here he is, Weston from Salt Lake City.
What's up, Q? I need you to sound that alarm, because this is some new booty. And I just got to say, regarding the news around Gruden, yeah! Obviously, I'm disgusted, albeit not surprised by what came out. But as a fan, all I can ask for is to not have to tolerate that kind of garbage and the ownership not tolerate it. And my man, the billionaire with the bowl cut, Mark Davis, had his ass out of there. I just forgot to tell you my name. This is Weston from Salt Lake City, the 801 Raider Salt. Peace out.
So I guess I don't have to even really break down that call, right? A very happy and fired up Weston, not necessarily about the circumstances that led to the resignation, but happy nonetheless about the resignation. Thank you so much for that call, my man. Appreciate you. Next up is a text from Koala Raider out the 312. Yo, yo, yo. What's up, Q? It's me, Koala Raider from the 312. Man, oh man, this has been a brutal week for me. The Raiders getting their behind kicked on a horrible game by my home team. Now to even find out that Gruden has resigned with the Raiders just leaves more questions and concerns for the team. But my main concern is who will replace Gruden's spot now that he's out? And if this whole shebacle will affect our season now that Gruden isn't calling the shots. Love to hear your thoughts on this and also Raider Nation's opinion. Love the podcast. Listen to Locked On Raiders every night to start off my morning grind at work. I love it like a fat kid loves cakes. Stay safe. Stay blessed. You, Koala Raider out. Raiders. That's Koala Raider from the 312. And well, right now, Rich Bisaccia has taken over. He'll be talking to the media later on this afternoon. He's the assistant head coach and he was the special teams coordinator. He's still going to be the special teams coordinator, but now he's going to be the CEO of the team as well. So he's tasked with the job of, you know, trying to lead the charge and finish off this season really strong. But after that, who knows? Who knows who's going to be the head coach? Who knows what that list is going to look like? Who knows who they're going to be talking to? But, you know, similar to what I was talking about earlier in the segment, this next coaching hire has got to be a really good one. You cannot continue to have that rotating door at the head coaching position. You got to find a guy who's going to be solid. And really, honestly, I'd love to see a guy that looks at the roster and says, oh, yeah, this is something similar to what I do. And this is, I can use these guys and they could be great. I know how to use each and every one of these guys and take them to the next level. I would love to see that. So it's not a rebuild. So it's just a, maybe a tweak or two. I would be fine with that. I would actually think that that makes the most sense, but we'll see. Like I said, there's plenty of time between now and then to figure out who the next Raiders head coach is going to be. Thank you so much for that. And appreciate you listening to the show and supporting the show. And hopefully you have good evenings at work, my man. I definitely appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Valley Boy Raider. He's calling to talk about John Gruden resigning and how he feels about it. Here he is, Valley Boy Raider.
What's up, Q? This is Valley Boy Raider from the 818. And just got the news. John Gruden is out. My thoughts are, don't let the door hit you on the way out. He lied to Mark about him. That's why I think Mark told him, hey, you lied. So that's probably why he left. I know everybody makes mistakes, but at the same time, he was up for with everybody and saying, you know what, I did this, this, and this. Probably still been here. In my mind, I think he was going to get fired anyways by week 6, because I don't think we would have won any games going forward with them, with that play calling. Remember, there's a reason why Al Davis fired this man, or traded him, sorry. There's a reason why Al Davis traded him. And let's not remember, let's, Raider Nation, let's remember, we are the first ever franchise to hire a minority coach with Tom Flores, African-American coach with our show, and a woman president with Amy Trask. Al Davis and Mark Davis do not stand for stuff like this. This is why we don't sign people who have domestic violence issues. All right? So remember, it's the shield. It's not about John. It's about the shield, the Raider shield. Because look at this as a blessing in disguise. Yes, it's never good to kick a man down when he got, like when he's down. But you know what? Let's move forward, hire someone like Eric Bieniemy later in the year, or the offensive coordinator from the Buffalo Bills. I keep forgetting his name, or the guy from the Ravens, the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of good young coaches out there, you know? They just keep going to the end of the day. It's Raider Nation, not Gruden Nation, not Carr Nation, Rugs Nation. No, it's Raider Nation. Raider Nation. Okay? And let's keep that. Let's keep that going. It's Raider Nation. And remember, Raider Nation, the Raiders are always about giving opportunity to the minority and to people who deserve it. soul to just chill. Mark Davis is going to do the right thing and hire the person that needs to come in his team and put a Joe up there. Hopefully, this message goes across, Q, and I want to see what your thoughts on it. Remember, people, it's Raider Nation, not Gruden Nation. Raider Nation, baby. Ready, boy, out.
There he goes, Valley Boy Raider out the 818. And, you know, I'm never going to say it's a blessing in disguise when it comes from a situation like this, you know, being hurtful and foul. Not to mention not fair for the guys in the locker room. You know, it's just not a good look. It's all bad, bad situation. You mentioned Bieniemy as your guy, but if you do a quick Google search, you'll see that he's got plenty of baggage in his past as well. I don't think the Raiders can or will look at him in a head coaching capacity, especially coming off the heels of this situation. Eric Bieniemy was one of the first guys I thought of as well. I did. That was like one of the first names that came to my mind as soon as the resignation came down. And then I realized and remembered, oh, man, I forgot. He's got all that baggage that, I don't think that Mark Davis can ignore. So I don't think that that'll be the guy, but we'll see. You know, I heard somebody suggest on Raider Nation Radio 920 to me on Tuesday, how about David Shaw from Stanford? I would be okay with David Shaw. That's a hell of a dude. Once a Raider, always a Raider. He's got Raider blood in him. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about David Shaw. He's got the pro scheme that he's running there in Stanford, so I think he could transition into that job and probably do a hell of a job sooner rather than later. So, but again, I mean, it's so easy to start getting caught up in who can be the next guy. It's a long time between now and then, so we'll just have to see. Thank you so much for that call. Got time for a couple more. How about a text from Joe in SoCal? Hey, Q, what a wild ride for the Raiders. I thought your podcast today was a great medication for the grieving Raider Nation. I needed to hear exactly what you had to say. Thanks for the great content and keep up the good work. That's from Joe in SoCal, and it's just something that came from the heart, man. Something came from the heart and something that needed to be said. And I think a lot of times, and I don't mean just with the Raiders, I think in general, a lot of times you look at professional sports and the fans are the ones that are overlooked and forgotten about. And I know how long, as a diehard Raider fan, I know how long it's been since we have been celebrated and we have had something to celebrate. So I know exactly how long it's been. And every time you get your hopes up thinking this is the year, something pops up. And this one, definitely never saw this one coming. If you told me at the beginning of the year, by week five or after week five, John Gruden would be out and this is the reason why, I would have told you that you were a liar. I would have made any kind of bet and wager and I would have lost because I never would have seen this coming. But here we are. So thank you so much for your text, my man. I do appreciate you. Got enough time for one more call, and we'll take it from Selena in the OC. She's calling to talk about the whole weekend leading up to the Bears game, who she ran into Saturday night, and the feeling she had during the game and after the game. A lot right here to unpack from Selena in the OC.
Hey, Q. It's Selena in the OC. A couple quick things. One, I thought your show on Monday was awesome because I thought it directly represented how I was feeling, and I'm sure a lot of how Raider Nation was feeling. When the news came out on Friday, I had that horrible pit in my stomach and that horrible, horrible feeling. And even though at the time it seemed like his comment was explainable the way he was explaining it with the rubber lips theory, I just didn't have a good feeling about it. Still didn't have a good feeling on Saturday. We had all the cancellations. Everybody's trying to fly out. Everybody's getting delayed and canceled. It took me 12 hours to get to Vegas. I missed the Rockstar Bar event. I just did not feel good about going into the game on Sunday. And of course, Sunday morning still felt the same way. And then that horrible, horrible game. It was awful from start to finish. Having all the Bears fans there was awful. Just like you said, it felt like the life was sucked out of you, and that's exactly how I felt. I just felt like a walking zombie the rest of Sunday night and then Monday, and all of that happens. And so I thought it was a presentation of Raider Nation, so I applaud you for that. Another just quick thing, what I keep going back to is Saturday night, after trying to get there for 12 hours, I'm leaving the restaurant. It's midnight, and lo and behold, Mark Davis is sitting in the booth next to us. I couldn't believe it. I've never ran into him before in my life. I actually left the restaurant, and I didn't want to interrupt his time sitting at a restaurant. And as I was leaving, I'm like, you know what? You got to take your shot, right? Even if he gives me the worst negative response. I would completely understand it. I'd never hold it against him. And so I walked up to him and told him hello, and I was a big fan. And he was great. I mean, we made great small talk, and I walked away, you know, feeling great that I actually had that opportunity to see him in person and say hi to him and have that small conversation with him. But after I walked away from that, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, he's going through all of this with the email from John Gruden, not even knowing what was revealed on Monday at that point. He could have easily been, you know, I know he was in his phone. He could have easily been looking at those emails, looking at his contract. I don't know. Obviously, that's speculation. But it's kind of crazy that I have ran into him in the middle of him going through everything that he went through. So just wanted to share that story.
There she goes, Selena in the OC. Thank you for the call. And, yeah, man, that whole Southwest issue, that was exactly that, an issue for sure. So many people's flights were either postponed or canceled. That was coming to Vegas, leaving Vegas. I mean, it was all one big cluster. You know what I mean? It was not cool. But that was cool that you met Mark Davis. He's always, anytime that you run into him around town, at least anytime I've ran into him or I see him talking with different fans or different people around town, he's always really cordial to him. So very approachable, down-to-earth dude. I really respect him for that. And you know what I always say, you're guaranteed to miss a shot you don't take. So good thing that you absolutely took that shot. That's really, really cool. And thanks for the compliments on the show as well. Appreciate you. And sorry you didn't have a good experience at the game, as nobody from Raider Nation had a good experience at that game on Sunday. The Raiders really need to get that nasty taste out of their mouth sooner rather than later, starting this Sunday against the Denver Broncos. And speaking about this Sunday against the Denver Broncos, coming up on tomorrow's show, it'll be Crossover Thursday, baby. Cody Rourke, a.k.a. the Denver Broncos, Adam Schefter, will join the show to break down all things Denver Broncos as we talk about Week 6 action. 3-2 Broncos, 3-2 Raiders. Something's got to give. One team's going to be 500 by Monday, and one team's going to be 4-2 and potentially looking up at the Chargers like they're right there with them. You know what I mean? So it could be a really fun day for the Raiders on Sunday. Could be a really bad day for the Raiders on Sunday, but we'll get the breakdown from Cody Rourke tomorrow on the show. Of course, we'll have more news and notes of the day as well. So definitely appreciate all the feedback. Appreciate everyone who supports the show. Thank you so much for making it your first listen each and every day. And remember, you can find the Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on every platform that you find podcasts. Appreciate you as always, Raider Nation. Take care of yourself. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.